for me this
morning. Welcome to the Rock of Ages Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Israel Soto. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit rockofagesaog.org.
Passed over and over again, and I want to speak to you on the subject of love exemplified. Love exemplified, that means revealed love. How do you show God that you love Him? Everybody is accustomed to saying, oh, I love God, and oh, God is good, and oh, I love God so much. But the question that really challenges us in our statement, in our confession, is how do we do that? How do we show God? How do we reveal not only to God, but to others around us that we truly love God? You know, we have that cliche here, this adage that we say, it's easier said than done. Amen? Anybody ever heard that? Oh, it's easier said than done. And certain things are certainly easier said. And I believe that one of these things, we can grow so accustomed. We've been talking a lot about salvation this past couple of weeks. And God has given us souls for the kingdom. Isn't that awesome? Amen? Amen. People have been getting saved, and that's a beautiful thing. That's our whole purpose. That is the whole business of the church. But we speak about loving, and we speak about caring for God, and it's our purpose here, objective all the time from this pulpit, to always challenge ourselves to take us to that place where our confession is not simply confession or words. Jesus said, those who hear my words and do them. The Bible said that faith without works is worthless, is dead. And so there's always a connection with us having to respond to the words we speak. And so we've been talking a lot about how important it is for us to really begin to believe what comes out of our mouth. And so when you say, I love God, what does that really mean to you? And how easy are those words falling from your mouth into the ears of others or even into the ears of God? When you pray, you say, oh, I love you, God. What kind of value do those words really have to the listener? And what do they mean to you? Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 reads as follows. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. That is not only, it does not only include the statement, but it includes the definition or what it means. The commandment here, not the recommendation, but the commandment given to us of the Lord is to love Him. And so you immediately have to ask, if you care enough about what you've been challenged to do, is how do I do that? Well, the Lord easily tells us here in Scripture, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strengths. Now, I'll read a little bit further because we want to include children as well. Because that has to do with us loving God. When we love God, we'll find out that it actually encompasses everything about us. Everything. When you gave your life to Christ, you not only gave Him a portion of you, but you are to give Him all of you. And I know that we could easily identify that as me personally, as one person, but when you talk about all of me, you have to talk about my possessions, you have to talk about everyone who is around me that is related to me, all these things that are important to me that involve my all. And so the Scripture does the same thing. It involves everything in the life of that person that is loving God with all. He says, these commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road. When you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols. Be noisy about Jesus. Amen? You know, something that you hear frequently or read frequently on social media, when a Christian comes out and posting something about the terrible things that's happening in our world today, in our nation today, they seem to close their statement with saying, wake up. Wake up, church. And the challenge is to wake up, meaning that somebody obviously is making the observation that the church is moving forward in God, but it's doing it very quietly. It's doing it incognito. We're not making enough noise as Christians. There are people in this world of certain religious cults and sects that are making a lot of noise. Amen? The country is talking about how the Muslims today, Sharia law and all these things, and how they're establishing communities and doing all these things with the purpose of instituting their true religion upon America and everyone. All of us besides them are infidels, they call us. And they're making a lot of noise. So much noise that it occupies a great portion of news today. Anything, you read anything on social media, they're going to talk to you about a Muslim community or some mosque that's being built or people who are suing our governor because he's stopping this movement that's going on. And there's always a battle going on. And all of that means, what that signifies, though we may not understand all that is happening politically, we know that they're making noise because it's got our attention. Time and time again, you'll see people on social media saying, America, wake up. But is it really a battle with America? We can confuse this whole movement that's going on as a nation's battle, but it's really not. It's a spiritual battle with the church. Are you here this morning? Is it really a political war? Is it really all about just a particular people wanting to conquest our country and make it their own? Is it really about that at the core of it? No. This is more spiritual than we think and than we make it out to be. It's about silencing the name of Jesus. It's about discrediting him and taking him off of his throne. It's taking him out of the throne of your heart that you might stop believing in who he is and start believing in Allah. That's what the battle is about. We can do more resistance on our knees in prayer than we can trying to fight some political war. And I believe that God looks upon his church today and he looks upon us now going like, really, you really think this is about borders? Do you really think this is about who wants to own be the greatest nuclear power in the world? Is the church really that naive to believe that what's happening right now, because all of this movement is really all about having women dress different and this and the other and passing on their customs? Really? No. We're missing the point. This is about your relationship with Christ. This is about Christ's relationship with us. They're trying to sever it. That's what it is. But the point I'm trying to make in all of this, I don't want to go into that area anymore, but what I'm trying to say is they're making noise. And so the scripture says, tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Make it visible. I believe it's time for the church to be a little bit more noisy. To start declaring the truth of Christ more. To stop being ashamed and apologizing for our faith in Christ and making excuses as to why we don't like to say anything. Well, I'm just that way. It's time to make some noise. I said, it's time to make some noise. And so he says, tie them on your hands and bind them on your heads and write them on the doors of your frame, the door frames of your house and your gates. All of you. You understand that? You hear it? All of you. All of you. And I say all of this because we begin with the first question of the hour. How do you show God that you mean what you say? How do we reveal to God when we say, Lord, I love you, Should we not be critical with ourselves just a little bit more, a little bit more questioning of ourselves and say, do I really? Does my home represent Christ? The way I move about amongst the community, the way that I speak, the things that I do, do they represent my declaration? Do they visibly see? Am I an illustrative declaration to people when I say I love God? They see that I love God. That is the question of the hour. That I hope we can in some way help ourselves this morning to answer. Does anybody love Jesus today? The scripture is clear to show us ways that we can reveal and reflect this love for him. And they may not sound so divine in order for us this morning. They may not sound so theological. They may even sound elementary to some of us, but I promise you that they are so elementary to some people, we gloss right over them and we miss the whole point. The first thing the scripture teaches us, and not necessarily in order, but one of the main things that the Bible teaches us concerning us, our revelation of love for God, is learning to embrace his leadership. Learning to embrace the leadership of God. You know what that means in layman's terms? In our customary verbiage here that we use? Learn to listen to what he tells you. That's simple enough. Isn't that what parents teach your children when they're at home and son socarrones, cabezudos, caprichosos? They're stubborn, rebellious. Learn to do what I tell you. Why did you do that? I told you not. Learn to listen to the authority's voice in your house. Learn to listen to what I tell you. Hardest lesson you can teach young people. Matter of fact, for some of us old people, we're still having trouble with that. If we can apply that to our relationship with God, does the Lord have to really kind of point his finger and say, like, listen to what I'm telling you. Let me lead you. We live in a world of so many dreams. We live in a world of so many desires, hopes. We live in a world of so many goals that those goals in our lives become so strong for us sometimes that everything outside of that goal, what echoes in our mind is us to get there, regardless of what you hear, whether in counsel or criticism outside, you don't hear a thing. We're always instructed to be goal-minded, to be purpose-minded. And some of it, that's a good thing. You teach your children to do that. We need to learn to do that, to be goal-minded, to have a purpose. He who aims for nothing will 100% hit nothing. But sometimes we can get so involved in what we want to do, this is where I want to be, that we forget where God wants you to be. We get so busy with what I want to do and how I want to do things, we completely ignore the voice of our highest authority, whom we said we love. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Here we go, the word all again. I wish they would just leave a little bit of things for me out, where I can do with these things what I want to do. But there is no apology in this verse. There is nothing. There's no hyphen or quotation marks as if to show us somehow a disclaimer that all except. When the scripture says that you should do it all, it means all. What part of all do we not understand? So it says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, in all the leadings that you have in life, the directions that you take in life, the purposes that you have set for yourself in life, acknowledge God. Stop to ask a question and say, Lord, this is what I want to do. What do you think, Father? What do you think, Lord? And I'll tell you, some people will negate doing something like that because deep in their heart, they may know already that when they do ask God, He'll say no. And nobody likes to hear no. Everybody wants to be encouraged to do what they feel is right to do. Is somebody still here this morning? Are we learning something this morning? Yeah. I'm trying to get you closer. That'll be my intent and the objective of my staying here with you whatever years or whatever time God gives me to stand behind this pulpit. That will always be my main objective, to get you closer. Even if it makes you uncomfortable, to get you closer. I will be gone one day, my friends, and you will remember. He told us to stay close. That is the purpose of my life for you. We don't want to ask God. We don't want to acknowledge God in our ways. Why? Because He may have a different view of what you want and you have in mind. But the Bible goes on to say in this same verse that if you will acknowledge Him, He will make your path straight. That has to do with all the confidence in the world. How many believe that God can perfect all things? I said, come on, how many can believe that God can perfect all things? If you don't think He can perfect all things, then He can't be God. The God that I serve promised me, and I've even seen Him in my life, perfect all things pertaining to me. And I'm not ashamed to bear that witness before you behind this pulpit. He promises to perfect your path, to make it straight, to make it prosperous, to make it a blessing. But we need to acknowledge Him. We need to learn to do what He says. We have illustrations, and for the sake of time, I won't even mention when the Lord took the prophet Jeremiah to the potter's house. And again, we see a plea of the Lord calling out to His people. Can I not do what that potter is doing to that clay? Can you not listen to me for a moment? Here's the beautiful part about the Lord, though everything is beautiful about Him. But if you read that story, you'll find out that even in that scripture tells that the clay was bad. The clay was marred. The clay had stuff in it that didn't belong. And you often wonder, like, if you're like us, if something is messed up, we normally take it straight to the trash. No, get a new one. That one's dirty. But I'm so glad that God doesn't have any trash cans in His house. Jerry, think about that. He has no trash cans. He doesn't have BFI driving up on Tuesday mornings or whatever day the trash guy comes out to throw all your trash. He doesn't throw anybody out. And in this passage, He reveals to us, as the potter found that stain, the Bible says He perfected it again. And that's exactly what God wants to do with us when we trust His leadership. If you will just love Him enough this morning, ladies and gentlemen, to trust His leadership, to learn to ask that one other person, of all the people you ask concerning your walk in life, include one more and make Him the most important. You'll find out that He's the one who truly has all the answers. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. The second thing that will help us to reveal our love for God is to hold nothing back from Him. To hold nothing, to hold no reserve from God. Not to hold your hands behind your back and hold things away from Him, but to surrender everything. The Bible teaches us as believers to hold nothing back from the Lord. For He, the Bible says, withholds no good thing from those whose walk is upright. God didn't hold anything back from us. The Bible says that He gave His only. Say only. Say only. What does only mean? That's it. Would that be a proper definition? What does only mean? That's it. How many do you have? I only have one. Let me see the rest. I said I only have one. That means that when He gave His only, He gave it all. He had nothing else to offer. I don't care what the Mormons say. Jesus has no brother, and certainly it's not Lucifer. Hello? The Bible says that He is the Lord, and He alone is the Lord. He stands alone, and beside Him, there is no other. He is the Lord, and He stands alone, and beside Him, there is no other. So when the Bible said that He gave His only, that means that God took everything He had, and He surrendered it for me. He gave it all for me. You could go back into His house and say, what else do you have that you can give for this man? I have nothing else. This is everything I have. He is the most generous God. He is the most loving and wonderful God. And so now in our relationship, can we ask ourselves, how generous are we with Him? How open are we with Him? What kind of reservations do we have from Him? How many passcodes do you have on your stuff that God does not know? Because if He does, He might go in there and find out. Amen? Now, some of you are thinking, well, He's talking finances. No, I'm not. Don't be a tight one. I've said this a few times before, but I'll never forget that brother said, hey, you're always talking, you're talking about tithes. I said, do you tithe? No. I said, shut up. No? Doesn't sound very reverend-ish, right? Zaweth, hush thy mouth. No, man. It's always tithe at the church. Really, do you tithe? Yeah, no, then shut up, man. You lost nothing, have you? But automatically we run to that, but that does not what it means. Jesus, the Lord isn't standing on some soup line waiting for us to see how much income tax we have so that we can give Him, or how much we have extra in our weekly pay and allowance. This is making reference that when we approach God with everything, we approach Him in all honesty, in true and honest and open prayer. Offer Him the fullness of our trust, being transparent about who we are in our lives and even transparent in our struggles. Hold nothing back. Let Him know. Let Him know. I've even heard some wonderful people tell me when they come see me at my office or a time of counsel, they say, have you prayed about it, brother? Well, you know, I don't want to bother God about that. I mean, it's just a menial thing. And I know it's pretty noble of an individual to say that, right? I mean, come on, you know, it's just my hip. I'm going to be in prayer about that. It's no big deal. God knows, and I'll be all right. Really? Did you know that God cares about a single toenail that's hurting you? He cares about everything. So when He tells us, give me everything, whatever it is that you're going through in your life, there's nothing. Remember, what did we talk about last week? Does anybody remember? With God? With God? All things are possible. So hold nothing back from God. And He promised you that in return He will give you the strength, the direction. He will bless you according to His perfect will. But you have to learn to be open. with God. You need to let Him know whatever it is that you're going through in your life, however serious or even menial it might be. You think you're being a brat by just gnawing on His ankle all the time. Oh, God, He does not mind. He loves you. He loves you. The Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 8 and verse 32, He who did not spare His own Son, again, His own Son, but gave Him for us, how will He not also along with Him graciously give us all? Here comes that word again. What kind of boundaries do you put on all when it comes to God? Well, I believe God can heal me of blood pressure, but can He heal me of cancer? Well, that's a different story. What kind of boundaries do we put on the Lord? Some people say God could do all things, but come on, the plagues, really? The Red Sea? You boundary, you put God in a box. You don't believe that God can do all things. You don't believe God will provide for you all things. So learn. You want to love God? Then show Him how you trust Him. You're not a nuisance to Him. You don't bother Him at 3 a.m. If something that you're going through and you bow your knee to pray and you say, Father, and you will find surprisingly how wonderful it is for Him to you, for you to hear Him say, yes. Yes, I'm going through this stuff. I'm hurting this way. I'm going through this. I'm holding nothing back, Father. This is really bothering me. This is really moving me. This is really shaking me up, Lord. I know it sounds like kiddie stuff. I'm sorry, but I just need to tell you because you're my Father. And the Lord promises that He will make your paths straight. If you freely and truly love God, learn to be open with Him. Somebody say amen. 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 Thirdly, learn to keep Him at your highest. Learn to keep Him at the highest place in your life. You know, our lives really are a room of trophies. That's what our life is. We always talk about the accolades. We always talk about the trophies, the plaques. That we have this throne room in our hearts where, well, yeah, you know, I've got my master's. Wow, it's right there. You know what? I accomplished this, and I started a successful business, and there you go. It's right there. And you have all these things, and good enough. It's fine. You celebrate the things that you accomplish in life. But do we ever look at salvation? Do we ever look at our relationship with God as the highest of all trophies? In that trophy room of your life, where is the Lord? Where do you hold Him in importance? Where do you hold Him in priority? If you love God, He'll always be at the top. Somebody say amen. Always be at the top. Always be priority. And there's blessings when you do that. The Bible says in Matthew 6 and 33, everyone knows this passage, or should. But if you seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, all these other things will be given unto you. If you'll make God first, if you'll keep Him at your highest priority, if what you seek in your morning when you get up and you're having your coffee, if the first thing you do when you step forward is to begin to seek to put God at the highest of your priorities, whatever else it is that you're praying for and believing for, the Bible says all the rest of the stuff that you're looking for, God holds in His hand. Did you know that God has in His hands the authority and the power to enrich and to impoverish? You know what that means, college people? God has the authority in His hand to make you graduate with all A's and honors and get your master's degree and be successful in your profession. But he also has enough breath in his nose to go. For every successful business, I've got all these things. And God gives that the strength and the grace of wealth and all these wonderful things. But also God holds and reserves for himself the right to. I can only picture the hand of God on top of the spigot where everything flows out. He can open it to the fullest, or he can close it to the tightest. A lot of that will have to do with where you keep God. Amen? Keep him at your highest. Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in the sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and the lyre. Praise him with tambourine and dancing. Praise him with the strings and flute. Praise him with a clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Keep God at the highest in your life and show him. Don't leave him at the end in the back of the bus in your life. Don't make him the last person you speak to when it comes to decision making. When you have something to gloat about and to be proud about, always begin to say, you know, the first great accomplishment, the things that I've received in my life that I hold high as the highest trophy for me is the fact that I'm saved and I'm a child of God. Oh, we can talk about my master's. We can talk about my successful business. We can talk about my bank account. We can talk about my education. We can talk about all these accomplishments. And all this is wonderful. But you know what? If you look straight up, the highest trophy that I have received ever in life, I didn't even earn it myself. It was given to me. Is the trophy of salvation for my soul. Learn to keep God at the highest. And finally, I close. Anticipate his return. You know, someone who loves God, ladies and gentlemen, is someone who's always keeping watch for him. Isn't it true? And it stands for all of us. You know, we can get so busy in life that you forget where all of this is taking you. What the end of the day in your life is going to take you to, what the purpose of it all. You seem to be going around in circles. You never take time to really itemize and look at things, and you go like, so after today, what? Well, here comes next week. Do you agree with me that years seem to be passing faster? Right? Isn't it really, I'll use the word crazy for the sake of a better word, but isn't it crazy to think that, man, we are already in December. Everybody close your eyes. Not a single eye open. I want you to look at your Christmas list right now. Everybody look at your Christmas list. Do you see my name anywhere? No? Oh, well. I try it every year and nothing. Okay. But someone who loves God anticipates the return of the lover of his soul. And don't say you don't understand that because you've had a girlfriend before. You've been in love before. You really enjoyed your friendship with someone before that's out of town, and all of a sudden you know they're coming for the Christmas holidays. You anticipate. You couldn't wait till Friday because that's when you're going to go have dinner with your girlfriend. You're anticipating that moment. And I know that's kind of silly. Could never compare such a relationship with our relationship with God. But just for the sake of showing you what I mean. To have that giddiness about you and say, you know what, all I know is that Jesus is coming for us. So what about everything that's going on? Yeah, I know, it's horrible, right? Yeah, I know, wow. But you know what? I know he's going to show up sometime. I know, but hold on. The war in the Middle East, wait, right now. All this is happening now. The political fights is going on, and now the economy, and now this is not happening. Yeah, I know, right? It's horrible, right? Absolutely. I'm not blind to it. I'm experiencing it. We're living in this world. I get it. But he said he'd come for us. And so we are commanded in Scripture, Matthew 24 and 42. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day the Lord will come. But understand this, that if the owner of the house had known what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. When you cannot tell, because no one knows, people have given him days. I think we've been projected that Jesus was going to come in 1978. I remember that. It never came. Then we never hit the 80s, and man, the 80s came and went. And no, the 90s for sure is a new era. Jesus is surely coming. As a matter of fact, September 28th, Jesus will be splitting the eastern sky. And here we are, getting ready to go, if Jesus tarries just one more month, into a new year. So what do you do when you don't know? Well, curiosity says of us, we always want to know. Wasn't it the disciples who said, Lord, when are you going to come and do this? When are you coming back? It's a natural instinct, the inquiry deep in us, the wanting to know, always the interest, inquisitiveness, I guess. But Jesus said, I'm not going to tell you because I don't know myself. So what is the recommendation then when you don't know, ladies and gentlemen, if not to be ready? Turn around, tell your neighbor, be ready. Be ready. The Bible encourages us to be ready. Not to be worrying about speculating his time, because no one will ever be able to guess it. But this kind of anticipation, as I close, will tell you, when you anticipate someone's coming, that should lead you to certain activities and actions in your life. And that is to always guard your faith, to always abound in good works, to stay steadfast, encouraging yourself and others, grounded in the Word of God, praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping your eyes focused on heaven. And every morning and every moment, remember the promises of God. Jesus is coming for his church, ladies and gentlemen. If you love him, you'll anticipate his return. That is the blessed hope of the church. There is no hope greater. There is no hope greater for us. The anticipation of Jesus' return. He's coming back for me. I said, he's coming back for me. And I know that if you love him, Paul said that on that day when he receives that crown, that not only he would receive it, but every one of us in this place who loves his appearing. How many are waiting for Jesus? Would you stand to your feet?
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Join us next time for another uplifting message. If you'd like to support this ministry and the reaching out of others, you have the opportunity to give at rockofagesaog.org/give.
The challenge this morning is to get ourselves, to ask ourselves, do we really?